It's all right. There's somebody else on now. Yeah. At most, today's Tuesday, by Thursday morning, the recording of the class will be on the same place as the handouts. So you'll be able to download it, put it on a CD, put it in your MP3 player, and listen to it again, because it reinforces it. Again, for me, the wisdom is amazing. That's why I share it, because I know it can help people. How you deal with that is up to you. You're only going to get out of this material what you put into it. So, to review last week, are there any questions before we start? Okay. Reviewing last week, we titled the class World History. And what we talked about was creation and what took place before creation. We talked about the Big Bang being the modern physics explanation of creation. For them, it's a theory. And as time moves forward, science is catching up to Kabbalah, catching up in the sense that they're revealing a truth using a language of physics. And that truth has been known within the Kabbalah since Adam, but in a written form since the Zohar was written, which is 2,000 years ago. So we talked about the endless world, which is the light and the vessel together. Now, some of you that weren't here last week and these terms are new to you, that's okay. We'll go over them again and again and again, because Kabbalah uses a very specific language. It's human language. It's a normal language. It's light. The word light, we all know what light is, correct? You turn on a switch and it comes out of an electric light bulb. That's not the light we're talking about. So we need to define almost every word we use. But we do that in a easy way. Light is a spiritual concept. And the Kabbalists used from 2,000 years ago, they said light is like a candle. I take a candle and I light it. And now I take that candle and I light another candle. Did I diminish the first candle? Did I lose anything? But I now have more light, don't I? I have two candles. Those two can light two more. Did anything get lost? All we're doing with light is adding and building and expanding and sharing what is that beautiful warmth and essence of what light is. This is the kind of language that's different than an electric light bulb. It's different than when we say light, turn on the light, turn on the electric light bulb. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this essence of sharing, of expanding, of not losing the essence, not losing anything by sharing to the next person, the next candle, the next light. Creation consisted of light, which is what we just defined in a very general way. Light, in a spiritual sense, needs something to see it. That's called revelation. Light, in and of itself, is not recognized, is not complete. It's complete because it doesn't need anything else. But it's not revealed. It's not sensed by anything. The thought of creation was to share goodness. That thought of creation created the light. Light is not God. Relative to us, it's God. Because it's so much higher than us. It's so much closer to the Creator than us. Because within the Creator, within the light, there is no sense of revealment. There's no sense of receiving, which is what we call the vessel. What reveals the light is a vessel that takes on the essence of the light. It shows it. If I put a red photographic screen in front of a movie projector, I put a red in front of it, that movie is going to project out red. If I put green in front of it, it's going to project out green. The red and the green are vessels. They change and receive what they're capable of receiving. We sense what we are capable of receiving. The light and the vessel in the endless world. Endless meaning there is no limitation. The light and the vessel are in unity. They're in oneness. This is the endless world. This is the first step of creation, much before our physical world. In the endless world, the light and the vessel are one. Spiritual law says the distance between two different things is based upon the closeness of those two things' essence. What does that really mean? In the physical world, I'm on this couch and you're on that couch, and there's a space between us, and we can measure that space. It's 10 feet, it's 6 feet. The distance between us is measured in space. But in spirituality, there's no space. So what is the difference between one thing and another in spiritual? What's the difference between happy and sad? Happy and sad are spiritual things. They're emotions created with the chemicals of our body and the consciousness of our mind, but they're really spiritual things. What does it mean to be happy? We all know what it means to be happy. We've had the experience. We all know what it means to be sad. We've had that experience, Chas V'Shalom, as well. What's the difference? The difference is that same space, because there's no affinity, there's no connection, there's no relationship between happy and sad, except they're both emotions. But happy and sad are opposites of each other. Sharing and receiving are opposites of each other. In the endless world, the vessel and the light should not be in unity because they're opposites. The essence of the vessel is to reveal, to receive, and in the process of receiving, reveal. By sensing the light, sensing the fulfillment, which is another word for light, sensing the essence of the light, however that is sensed, it means receiving it. And as you receive it, you reveal it. essence of the vessel is to reveal, to receive. The essence of the light is to share. Two opposites. How can they be in unity? In the physical world, they can be in unity. I can put fire on one side of a stick and ice on the other side of the stick, and they're on the same stick. They're in unity. What happens? The fire's going to melt the ice. But for that instant of putting them both on the same stick, the same log, the same chair, whatever, they're in unity. But in the endless world, it's not about the essence of 1 second, 1 instant. It's endless. The light and the vessel are in unity, and we don't understand that. We can't understand that. It's a paradox. This world was created on a paradox. How do we resolve paradoxes? In mathematics, if I give you a formula, a algebraic expression that has a curve created as the answer to that expression, and it becomes discrete. It ends, the curve ends, and then starts again in another place. And in the place where there's no line, we call that a paradox. Why is it blank in that section? We don't really understand that. But we can look at the numbers, we can see how it fits, but it's the essence, a curve that is discrete, stops and starts, is a paradox. What's another form of a paradox in our life? Almost everything is an aspect of a paradox. The light and the vessel, male and female. You think you're attracted to a woman, you think you're attracted to a man. There's no affinity between male and female, because male is sharing, female is receiving. Just visualize the shapes of the bodies. It teaches you this. Male and female is a paradox, because we are attracted to the opposite sex. Everything in our world is a paradox, because the start of our world is in the endless world where there is this paradox. This is essentially what we talked about last week. But that's an overall view. Now I'm going to look at it in a little more detail. And I'm going to ask you the question, what did God use to create the world? Edison is pointing at his head and saying consciousness. Consciousness creates the world. What else? Light was the creation from the Creator. The Creator created light. The light caused the vessel to appear. Cause and effect. The vessel is an effect of the cause, which is light. Light is an extension of the Creator. We truly cannot even name the Creator. We can describe the statement, He created, or He creates. But the ultimate Creator, we can't describe, we can't even name. Because all we can sense is the creation. And the Creator is outside of the creation. He has caused the creation. The effect cannot sense the cause without a gift from the cause to be able to sense Him. That's a very esoteric statement, and it would take us much too long to explain in a beginning class. We have consciousness, we have light, which is a vessel, yet it's also a cause of the vessel. Again, a paradox. But there's something missing.
Mud?
What?
You said we were made out of mud?
Okay, we're made out of earth. We're made out of a dirt, okay? But dirt is a vessel.
Okay.
Yes, we're made out of dirt, but is that what activates us?
No.
What activates, is our soul made out of dirt? What did God use to make creation? What did the light do to create the vessel? Consciousness is very real. I imagine there is $1 billion on this table. It's in my consciousness. I know it's there. I could even see it. But I guarantee you the rest of you don't see it. How do I know you don't see it? Because is it really there if it's in my head? How do I make it appear on the table? I say to the teller, give me $1 billion, I have to put it on the table.
The word.
The word. Sound. Sound in the physical world transfers through air. Sound in the spiritual is communication. The essence of sound is communication. It takes three things to create. It takes light, revelation, which is the vessel. The second thing, the vessel. Light, vessel, and something that balances the two. Right, left, and central. Putting words to this, you have sharing, consciousness, and words.
The three columns.
The three columns. Patricia's referring to the tree of life, which is not something we go into in the beginning class. The idea to create, for Hashem to create the world, He spoke. If we read the Torah, the first verses, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. 10 times God said in the first 32 verses of the Torah, which is chapter 1, 10 times God said is written. This is the essence of creation. It takes words. What are words made up of?
What?
Sounds. What are sounds made up of? How do I communicate sounds to other people who cannot hear my voice?
Signals.
Signals? They can read my lips. If they can't hear my voice, how are they going to hear my read my lips? Are they close enough?
Oh, I thought you were talking about that.
No, I'm talking about somebody who cannot, is so far away from me, they cannot hear my words. Speaking into this phone, which is being recorded, but right now there's somebody, 13,000 miles away listening. In Croatia, probably. Where is... What goes on with this? I speak, I create, but it takes the other person to hear, to reveal my words. What are words?
Quotes.
Hmm?
Quotes.
do I communicate that in another way?
It comes with writing.
With writing. How do I write? With what is the basic building block of what I write? There are symbols, but I'm going to go to a very simple term. You all know it.
Paper
is what I write on. Paper is a way of revealing. Light, a pen is a tool to share that revelation. What am I writing on the paper?
Ideas.
Letters.
Letters.
The simple tool is a letter. The building block of creation is a letter. Letter builds words. Words build the thing. I can write on a piece of paper my image, my consciousness, and you can read those words and understand. One of the differences between me and God is I can do it, but it doesn't change the physical world. When God writes on the piece of paper, it comes into being. When God says, it comes into being. That's a very deep difference, and it's a very deep concept. What did God create first? We're in the endless world. What's in the endless world? All of us. We're all the vessel. What else is in that endless world? All of the letters. All of the letters are created. Because in order to create Hanoch, you have to have a word, Hanoch. Does Hanoch exist outside of his name? Yes and no. It's a paradox. The letters create the world and everything that's in it. From the endless world, step by step by step, to the physical world. When I name something, I call it by its name. I am creating it. I'm connecting to its essence. I am making it appear. This is the way the world works, but we don't think of it that way. We don't perceive of it that way. I shake hands with somebody. Did I put any words out when I shook hands? But I made a connection. Before I made a connection, in my mind, I told my hand to reach out. Ultimately, the word handshake was created in my mind and manifested in the world, which is my consciousness. The other person had that same instant thought, so his hand reached out, and we connected and shook hands and met each other and created some form of energy exchange. Creation is energy exchange. Creation is revelation of fulfillment. There is a desire to receive. There is a fulfillment of that desire. This is the world in every aspect. It's always that way, but we don't see it that way. So let's bring it down into practicality. We have come into the endless world. We have come into the physical world from creation, from the endless world. And we have been given a tool called letters. Those letters are Hebrew letters. Those letters are Aramaic letters. Those letters are letters that none of us in this room truly know. I know more of it than anybody, and I don't truly know them. Because those letters are like DNA. We all have heard the term from our modern science, DNA. I could probably pronounce the word, but it's a long time. Some kind of dinonucleic acid. What is it? It's a building block. It builds a gene, and the gene builds a molecule, and a molecule builds something, and eventually a human being comes from something called DNA. We all agree that this is true? It is true. The DNA of creation are the 22 Hebrew letters. Each of them represents a force of spirituality, a force of corporeality, of physical, both a spiritual force and a physical force, a physical essence. Let me give you examples, and we don't have the time to go through every one of them. One essence is the Aleph, which is the essence of unity. Unity is a spiritual concept. Unity is a physical concept. Where is it physical? Where is unity manifested in our world? When we think of our family, we are unifying with them. When we think of our spouse, our relationship, there is a unity that's creation. You is not unity. That's separation, which is the letter of the bet. Spiritual and physical. Each letter has a force from creation. We call the letters tools. Remember never to believe anything I say, but I ask you to try and experience what I suggest. And in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, you'll look back and you'll say, I have changed. If you haven't changed, then this is not the path for you. If you don't experience it, if you don't try it, this is not the path for you. And it will seem absolutely strange. It will seem foolish. Because what I'm saying to you is there are three tools we're talking about tonight. Tool number one is the letters. Tool number two is building on the letters. There is a 2-week cycle in creation. It starts Saturday night. After the reading of the Torah Saturday morning. When you've heard the reading of the Torah Saturday morning, you've received the energy of those letters as a protection for the energy that's going to come into the cosmos during that week. From Saturday night, you receive the energy of the hearing of the Torah till the next Saturday. That energy, that protection shield is working with you. the more you study about that section, the stronger it becomes. It lasts until Friday night. That's why I said it's a 2-week cycle. Saturday night to Friday night is the second half of the early cycle. Saturday morning to Friday night is the new cycle. So I can study any time in that 2-week cycle the same material. But the better essence, the suggestion is to hear the Torah Saturday morning. When you hear the Torah Saturday morning, you are getting a protection shield against the negative aspects of the energy that comes into the cosmos that week. What is a week? It's an energy sense. It's a revelation. Each one of the letters has a positive and a negative aspect. I can be alone, or I can be lonely. And that's unity, the concept of unity. Opposite of unity is to be alone. The negative aspect of being alone is to be lonely. The positive aspect of being in unity is the fulfillment of what is that essence. All of it is the same energy. All of it is perceived differently. I can choose to be alone, or I can choose to be lonely. What makes me alone rather than lonely is that protection shield that enters my consciousness through the hearing of the Torah. Now, practically, what am I asking you to do? Saturday morning, typically, I don't care where you live in the world, there will be a Jewish synagogue. Sometimes they will be warm and friendly, and sometimes they will be cold and distant. Find a place that you feel comfortable and listen. Show up at 9, at the start is typically 9:30, 10 o'clock. There's a prayer service as part of the listening of the Torah. I'm not talking about the prayer service. Go if that feels right for you. I'm talking about listening to the reading of the Torah. It's an hour process at most synagogues, typically from 10 to 11. Sometimes there's a lecture explaining it. That's not the point. Listen to the Torah. Hear the Haftorah, which is the second part of it. Find a place. In Los Angeles, you're welcome to join us where I listen. It starts at 9:30. We're done by 11. And all of that is free. After that, we join for a meal, and if you stay for the meal, there's a donation expected for that. But the hearing of the Torah is free. Come and do it. You need to know the location and how. Patricia can tell you, she's been coming the last few weeks. You can email me and I'll send you the address. If you're going to Ecuador, find a Jewish synagogue. And some will welcome you and some will not. But all you have to do is walk in, put on a kippah out of respect, and listen to the Torah reading. It's all you have to do. You don't have to look at any other books. Over time, you'll develop that custom because you'll want to. But tool number one is the Hebrew letters. Tool number one is the Torah. Tool number two. Is the Hanabakoa prayer, which I ask you to do daily, at least once more often. I ask you to do it from the writing. It's on the website. Download it. We're going to start tonight and go through it. We probably won't finish it because we're almost out of time anyway. But that's to be expected. I think we'll probably do the majority of it again next week. So let's just join in doing the Anabekoach. I know Fernando has his writing, so you'll be able to follow it. Anabekoach Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Terura. Alephet Gimel Yud Tat Tzadi is the first sequence called Chesed. Chesed is love. Chesed is mercy. Chesed is sharing. The gematria of that phase, of those six letters, the first letters of those six words, is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam. Ahavat means love, Hinam, no reason, unconditional love. That is the essence of that phrase. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora kufrei shayin sintet nun. Those six letters, the first letter of those six words, spell out two three-letter words. Kra is the first word, Satan the second word. Kra means to tear up. Satan is a name given to the negative force that was created by God to give us free will. We want to tear up that negative force. We want it to go away. We don't want it to let it into ourselves. The same six letters can be rearranged, permuted, to spell the words Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, to remind us that there are gates in our head, seven of them, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and a mouth. Those are holes in our body. Thank God we have those holes. But those are also the entry points to the negative forces. Put up the policemen, put up the guards, put up the judges on your small gates to keep out what is going to be harmful to you. Just as it's harmful for you to eat bad food, wrong food, it's harmful for you to see certain things that are not healthy. Pornography is not healthy. I'm attracted to pornography. And yet, we have the choice of choosing to see that billboard with the low-cut gown or not. The policemen and the judges that can help our own lives. Close those gates. Only bring in positivity. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrim. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. Two three-letter sequences. They don't form words this time, but they're used for different purposes. Nun Gimel Dalet, the first three letters, has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew letters Zan, Zion Nun, Zion Nun forms a word, Parnassah, sustenance. Nun Gimel Dalet is a sequence that connects us to sustenance. Sustenance is not just money. It's not just livelihood. Sustenance is anything we lack. This is the fulfillment. We can use this sequence to help us connect to fulfillment. Yud Kaf Shin, the second sequence, is a sequence that we can use to take back the energy that we've given over to the negative side through our negative actions, our mistakes. We are the creators of our world. What has happened to us is something that we created. It's painful, you created it. It's beneficial, it's happy creating. It's wonderful, you created it. God does not give you any pain. Pain is an effect of your actions. There's a spiritual law called the boomerang law. What you do will come back to you. That's the boomerang law. When you make a mistake, when you do something that's negative, you're going to receive negativity in your life. That energy that you were given to do positive, and you did negative, that energy gets dissipated. It's taken away from you. You want it back? Use the sequence, Yud Kaf Shin. Varchem tacharem rachamei sidkatcha tamid gamrem betet resh sadi taf gimel. The middle two letters of those six is the Resh and the Tzadi, the gematria of which is 290. 290 is the same gematria as the name Miriam, Miriam the prophetess, Miriam the sister of Moshe. Miriam, who through her merit, there was the well of Miriam in the desert when the Jews were traveling for 40 years in the desert. Through the well of Miriam, we can connect to that energy of Chesed. Through the well of Miriam, we can connect to our soulmates. Through the well of Miriam, we can strengthen the relationships we already have. This is the purpose of those two letters and that consciousness. There are much more in those six letters. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pinei Zokrei Kedushatach. This verse is the sixth verse, and it's used during the month of Elul, which is what we're in, to meditate on the two letters of that month, the spiritual DNA of this month. They are the Resh, which created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Yud, which created both the month of Elul and the astrological sign of Virgo. DNA can be changed. Science talks about changing your DNA to eliminate those genetic defects. By meditating on the letters, we can change the negativity at its seed level. We can eliminate that negativity and only bring positivity. We use these letters, the Resh and the Yud, this month to do that. Each month, it will be a different verse. It will be a different set of two letters. On the form, on the page, you'll see the letters. They're there. And over the course of time, every month, we will go over and tell you which verse to change. There are 7 verses in this Anabekoah, connecting to a different day, each verse. This verse connects to Friday. So on this verse, we would utilize this verse on Friday to connect to different aspects, and we'll talk about that next week. Since this is the 6th verse and it's the month of Elul, this would be the time to go to what's called the Tikkun HaNefesh, which is a picture which I'm not sure that Fernando has, but it's on the website. And the Tikkun HaNefesh is a picture of man, the different parts of his body, with the different spellings of God's name. By visualizing the name, the part of man, the name of God for that part, and utilizing this, it's a form of healing, drawing healing power to your soul and your body. We do this within the frame of the Anabekoah, because the Anabekoah is 42 letters of creation. It is the energy of creation. The first 42 letters in the Bible are the Anabekoah. The last verse, Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Sadiyuta. This verse is the manifestation. Everything you want to see in your life is visualized with this verse. It helps you bring it into your life. You want to see yourself married? You want to see yourself with children? You want to see yourself in a better job? You want to see yourself happy? You want to see yourself fulfilled? During this verse, these 6 letters will help you achieve that. And the last line we say in a whisper, silently. I'm going to say it out loud for teaching purposes. This verse, this 8th verse, is a grounding of all of the energy that you drew by saying the other 7 verses that you may not have the vessel yet to handle. And rather than have that energy hanging around that you could get a shock, we ground it with this verse, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. The Anabekoah is the tool of creation. Say it at least once a day in the morning. Say it 1,000 times a day. Whenever you want to, say it. Whenever you think about it, say it. Say it in your mind, whisper it so that people don't know what you're doing. It's a meditative tool, as we talked about. It can be done over 3 hours of meditation, or it can be done in 2 minutes. The more you do it, the more used to it, the more connected to it, the more it will be manifested in your life. Yes, Edison. There's no problem if you don't have the correct pronunciation. That's what the last line is there for. It grounds any excess that's incorrect. Over time, you'll learn to say it properly. Until you do, it's like any apprentice. You're given a tool. Till you know how to use it, you're going to use it wrong. They don't give you the best tool to the apprentice. They wait until you know what's going on with it. Everything is there. It just takes time to learn how to use it. I gave you some meditations as we went through it. Every week, there'll be different meditations. Either I'll learn them differently, I'll hear them differently, or I sense them differently. You'll start to do that yourself. There is as many more meditations as there are people on the world within the Anapikoa, because the seed level of creation is the is these 42 letters. It's all there. Now, I'm going to tell you a story because we know we have a few minutes left. Most people don't believe me, and as I say, don't believe a word I say, but experience this for yourself. My teacher teaches the Anapikoa. The Anapikoa is a prayer that has been in the Jewish Siddur, the Jewish prayer book, for 2,000 years or more. Actually, the prayer itself, the Anapikoa, has only been there for 600 years. The name of the 42 letters, the first letter of each word, that's been there since creation because it was used to create the world. My teacher taught, just as I teach you, do not believe them, but experience it yourself. The year was 1994, 95, I'm not sure exactly what year. My teacher got a message, and don't ask me to explain his message. You get messages too. Sometimes you hear them, sometimes you don't, sometimes you listen to them. God is speaking to us all the time. We don't hear him. My teacher, through the study of Kabbalah, is sensitive to those messages. He got a message. Go to Libya. He was in Paris at the time. He got on a plane with one of his students whose family came from Libya prior to their moving to France. If you go through history of France and Libya after the Libya used to be a colony of France, so there was relationships. There were many French people who were thrown out of Libya at the revolution. They moved to France. Some of them were Jewish. One of them was a student of my teacher's. So the two of them get on a plane to go to Libya. Now, Libya is an Arab country. Libya in 1994-95 is the home of the government in exile of the Palestinian people. There was a gentleman by the name of Arafat. He was the head of the government in exile of the Palestinian people. He traveled the world, but most of the time he spent in Libya. He has his government there. He's got his bureaucracy there. He's got a building that is his government. My teacher is an Orthodox Jew who looks like an Orthodox Jew. He has a beard. He keeps it trimmed. He has a kippah. Most of the time he doesn't wear a suit. He wears something else. But for this trip, he wore a business suit with a kippah. He gets off the airport in Libya. He's got an American passport, also not well respected in Libya. Why is he going to Libya? He does not know. He just has this sense, this message to go to Libya. He gets in there, and that's when he realizes that the government of Yasser Arafat is in this city. They check into a hotel. The next morning, takes a cab over to the building. He does not go into the building. They're going to let a Jew in this building? Are you kidding me? He walks around the building seven times, all the time saying the Anapikoa. Seven times. Seven times. Walking, I don't know how many times, and he doesn't know how many times he said the Anavakoa. He gets back into the cab, or another cab, goes back to the hotel, gets back on the plane, and goes back to France. No big thing. We don't know what took place, right? Except that 3 months later, there is the Norway Accords between the Palestinians and the Jewish people. An opportunity for peace. Didn't work, but the opportunity was there. I am saying this to you when the minutes of that government come out in public, like we have in the United States, the Congress has minutes and it's made public, and there are some meetings that are secret, but over 50 years later they're published as part of the government's history. When those minutes of what took place on that morning when he walked around that building, I will tell you that, in my belief, that is when the government in exile of the Palestinian people voted to accept and negotiate the Norway Accords. By his being there, he brought balance into that place of hatred. Yes, they have a right to be hateful. Yes, there's definite rights and wrongs on both sides. But that place is a place of hatred. The government of Libya is a place of hatred. The land of Libya right now, not the people, but the government, is a place of hatred. By him walking around that building, he brought balance for that instant into that place. That's my belief. I cannot prove it to you, nor would I ever try to. All I can tell you, as a teacher to students, don't believe me, but try it. Are there any questions? Anavakoa. Yes, I send me an email. I'll send you a link with a recording that you can listen to it over and over. It's a different tune than the tune that I sing. If you type in the words in Google, Anavakoa, you'll have YouTube. There's probably 1,000 different recordings, various ways. It's a very famous prayer that almost nobody says. And one of the ways to know if something is important is if nobody's doing it. It's one of the tools that we can utilize. Over time, I'll explain why that is, but the essence, type in the words Ana, A-N-A, Bekoa, B-E-K-O-A-C-H, and you will get 1,000 YouTube videos of people singing this in various tunes. The tune that I use, my teacher doesn't sing a tune. He says the words. I sense that, and I've learned since, it's about singing. Sound is more powerful when you sing it. So I sing the Anavakoa. This tune that I use, America has said to me, it's what is the word you used, I think, back a few months ago? They said it's just invigorating. So I use it. But go and find the tune that's right for you. Sing it in any tune you want. Mariachi, it's all there because it's all in creation. There's no right or wrong. Mispronounce it, ground the energy with that last verse. It's all beneficial. Try it. How long is what?
If you listen to one of these videos, it's like a minute.
So, yeah, as I said, you can say it. You can, when you memorize it, if I'm just saying it, Anavakoa, Shamrim. Lachem Tarem Lachameti Katecha Tamid Gamrim. Hasim Kadesh Barot Tukha Nayam Hadatecha. Yachid Geher Lam Chapinez of Great Dushatecha. Shabbateno Kabel Ushmat Yakateno Yodea Ta'alumot. How long did it take me? How long did it take me? A minute? Less than a minute. And I'm actually slow in saying the words. They're Hebrew speakers who it's their first language. Hebrew is not my first language. English is my first language. There are Hebrew speakers who can say that in half the time that I said it. So it's up to you how much you want to learn, how fast. I prefer to meditate. I prefer to sing it. It senses right for me. But each of us is different, and there is no right or wrong. Experiment for yourself, but do it. If you don't want to go hear the Torah because you think I'm crazy about that, just do this every day. Do it at least once. Do it many more times. You'll see the change, because the letters are the DNA. Your eyes are the window to your soul. The letters affect your soul. They change you. You don't sense the change. 6 months from now, you will be a different person. You're actually a different person just by saying it once. But you haven't really changed yourself, and so it doesn't manifest. Over the 6 months of testing it for yourself, experiencing it for yourself. This is the Kabbalah. Kabbalah is designed to give you the tools to make your life better. How do you define better? More money, more women, more comfort, more fulfillment, more joy, more health, whatever you define as better, whatever you need, and we will talk about the difference between what I need and what I want, because we need to understand that. But these are the tools that you will have available to make yourself a better life. That's what I teach. That's what I share. That's what the essence of Kabbalah is for. It is not a Jewish prayer that is to be kept away in the synagogue. Yes, in the synagogue there is a kedusha, there's a holiness in that synagogue, depending on the people, depending on the place. But it's not meant. The Torah was not given to the Jewish nation alone. People need to understand that truth. The Bible was given to all 72 nations. The Jewish nation was at the mountain at the moment of revelation. But every other nation was given that Torah at the same moment. The Bible was revealed, not in words, but in essence, at that moment. The ten, we call them the Esser Dibrot, the ten statements. Anochi, do not kill, keep the Sabbath, honor your mother and father. The ten statements were given to all 70 nations at the same moment. And within those ten statements is the essence of the revelation of the light of God. Within those 10 statements, within those 620 letters, is all of the written Torah, all of the oral Torah, and all of the knowledge and wisdom of humanity. How can you have it in 620 letters? How can what I just described is really infinite, isn't it? 620 letters are infinite. count 620, but each one of them has concealed aspects that go on to infinity. But this is a part of the study that depends on what you want to do. This is a beginning class. At the end of 6 months, we will have gone through every tool that you will ever need in your life. But it's up to you if you want to continue. I chose to continue. I have been doing this study for 18 years. My class was 12 weeks long. I had all the tools I needed that I could have ever gotten in those 12 weeks. Of course, I've forgotten all of them as well. So that's why I had to be repeated. I had to go back and take the same class over and over. Because this is the essence of you being human, is we forget. The letters are the tool. The hearing of the Torah is the tool. The scanning of the Zohar, which I didn't mention tonight, I will next week. And the Anabakoach. You've been given four tools tonight. One I didn't really go into. Next week, we'll continue this and start on the 72 names. Any questions before I sign off?
What happened is I cannot even meet in a place where I cannot go to the Torah. Is there any place that internet where I can listen to them? Or?
Yes. Except I think they charge for it, so I'm not sure. Let me find out about it. But if there is... there's a program for $150 that it's a CD that you can put on your PC every Saturday and listen to the machine read the Torah portion. It's not the same, but it's energy. It's not the highest level of energy, but it's still the essence of the energy. Any other questions? Good night, and tomorrow night we'll be talking about an advanced class that I recommend you all listen to. Call into the conference call. The advanced class will be continuing the subject of the High Holidays, which is coming up, and it's important for everybody to participate with. We'll talk about that as well before we get there. And Thursday night, we'll be reading from the Parashah of Ki Tzitzeh. Speak to you soon.